Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says here, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Come on, how do you know it's important when he says there's one final thing? I want to leave you with this last thought. This is what he says. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. One time is not going to work. Keep putting into practice over and over and over again all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Today, I want to talk to you on this subject. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Come on, let's pray one more time before we get started. Father, we thank you for all that you are doing. God, we thank you for everything that you are. God, we pray that you would continue this process of making us who you designed and created us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the house said, amen. Amen. Well, there's something that I want you to know about me, and that is that I am completely helpless when it comes to fixing anything around my house. Actually, I'm completely helpless when it comes to fixing anything at any time, anywhere. But whenever we're at home, I don't have that skill set. And I was thinking about this week as I was preparing, and I don't know whether to be like super proud that I've made it this far in life being that helpless or to be completely embarrassed about it. So I don't know where I fit on it, but it is what it is today. As a matter of fact, somebody came in our house one time, and we had a toolbox that was laying on the living room floor, and they came in, they say, "Oh, I see Philip got his toolbox out." Destiny almost broke her neck when her head whipped around so fast, and with so much disdain, she said, "That's not Philip's toolbox, that's my toolbox." And then I think she muttered under her breath, "He's never fixed one thing in this house." Which I said, amen. You know, I might not be able to come over and fix your broken picture frame, but I'm going to do my best today to use some tools that are in my toolbox to improve the framework of our thinking today. And I believe it will make a difference for you. I want to dive in, and I want us to talk about our mindset. I want us to talk about our mindset. The word mindset is defined this way. I really encourage you to take notes today. If you've never taken notes before in church, today would be the greatest day ever for you to start taking notes. You can type them into your phone. You can write them down on a notebook or on your welcome card. But I'm going to give you some very practical things today that I really think are going to help shape your life and therefore help shape your future. And I want us to talk about mindset. Mindset is defined as this. It is defined as an established set of attitudes. Your mindset is an established set of attitudes. Now, we have defined attitudes many times here, and attitudes are our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. So where does our attitude come from? Our attitude is our settled way. It's what we have settled into, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone. That could be about your family, that could be about your friends, that could be about people that have a different skin color than you. You have settled into a way of thinking about somebody, or you have settled into a way of thinking about something. That could be yourself, that could be your past, that could be your future, that could be your next adversity or your next opportunity. We have settled into ways of thinking. Now those settled ways of thinking are our attitude, but our mindset is an established set of those attitudes. So whenever we talk about our mindset, I want to take it one step forward, okay? So it's not just my mindset, okay? And whatever your mindset is today,
Okay, your mindset today, the mindset you have right now in this moment, the mindset that you are processing everything that I'm saying through right now, your mindset, it comes from what you have previously set your mind on. So whatever you have set your mind on is where your mindset is today. It's important that you see this connection, okay? So instead of just saying mindset, because sometimes we just think, well, that's my mindset, I want to take it one step forward. Let's add a few more letters to that word. And instead of mindset, let's say mind settled. Okay, because that's where my mindset comes from. My mindset comes from what I have settled on to be true about myself, about my family, about my future. That's the mindset that I'm living out. So if you ever wonder, where is this attitude coming from? This attitude in your life is coming from what your mind has been set on. So if you don't like your attitude, it's connected to your mindset. So guess what? You've got to settle some other ways of thinking in your mind if you want to change the attitudes of your life. Everybody with me, say amen. So we're talking today about our mindset. We're talking about our thinking. We're talking about our thoughts and this, how do I settle my mind in a different direction? Now, the scripture that we just read in Philippians chapter 4, I want to go now into the Message translation because I really like the way that it says it here. And it says it this way. It says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best. Everybody say best.
Best.
Okay, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating, by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. You see, I love this translation because it says, fill your minds and meditate. Fill your minds and meditate. The other translation just says, fix your thoughts. But here it says, fill your minds and meditate. And here's the important thing that we need to take away from this. I can't meditate if I don't initiate. I can't meditate if I don't initiate. If I don't intentionally put it in there, then I can't meditate on it. If I don't do the hard work of getting what needs to be in my mind, then whenever I am sitting thinking, there is no way I can think about what I haven't intentionally put in there. So I've got to fill my mind so that I can meditate on what I need to meditate on. You see, he says, fix your thoughts, meaning you need to put your thoughts on, send your thoughts in this direction. But how many understand, if we don't fix our thinking, we can't fix our thoughts. If we don't fix the broken process of our thinking, then I'm not going to be able to fix my thoughts on what I need them to be on because it will be a broken process. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. And it's important for us to understand today that God can instruct us in this process. God can assist us and strengthen us and empower us in this process. But let's get one thing very clear. God is not going to think for us. God can help us, but God is not going to think for us. The Bible actually says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. As he thinks within himself, the way that you think is going to determine who you are. As you think within yourself, God not thinking for you, you are thinking for yourself. And as you think for yourself, you are creating yourself. You are being who you are through your thinking. Now, we looked at this little process right from the beginning. We're going to put this on the screen. We looked at it when we talked about our behaving because we need to know, how do I get to the life that I am building, right? How do I get to that life? And we said that our behaving is what influences that building. And we're going to put it up on the screen. There it is right there. Okay, so the life we're building comes from our behaving. But where do our behaviors come from? Our behaviors come from our being. But where does our being come from? Our being comes from our believing. But you see, I left out one very important thing because I knew that today was coming, and that is that you've got to put thinking into the equation. Because you see, I can believe it, but if I don't start thinking about it and I don't start thinking what I believe and I don't begin to change my thoughts, I will never change the person that I am. And if I don't change the person that I am, I'm not going to change my behaviors. And if my behaviors don't change, the life that I'm building is not going to change. So we have to see this morning the power from what we think to the life that we are building. Now, I've got a quick little illustration for you today. And just going back to the scripture that says, as a person thinks, so they are, right? As you think in your heart, it is, you are who your thoughts are. That's basically what it's saying. And now here's the thing, is that so many of us in this room, we were raised and we were taught some things. Maybe, hey, whenever you were 6 years old, your dad said something to you right before he left the family and he bailed out on you. And right before he left you, I mean he cursed you, not by using curse words, but he literally cursed you. And he said, son, you are a waste. You're never going to be any good, never going to amount to anything in your life. You are an absolute piece of dee-dee-dee. And you've been carrying that all of your life. And then you got into second grade and your second grade teacher said, you're not good at math. And so if you don't figure out how to do math, you're never going to be able to have a job out there in society. You're never going to amount to anything. And then you went over to grandma's house when you were 10 years old. And while you were at grandma's house, grandma had some way of thinking about some certain people and some certain things in life. And she just began to share some of those things with you. And it just began to get into your thought process. And then you had a coach whenever you were young and you were trying to play on this team, and your coach, he cut you right off of that team, told you you're never going to be any good at this sport, you're not going to make it, and just on and on and on and on. And then you got to be a teenager, and when you got to be a teenager, you started watching Beverly Hills 90210, and you started letting them influence your thinking, and you were paying attention to how Dylan was responding to things, and you were watching all the 90210. And then you went to college and you got around other people whose mind looked just like yours was, because their mom said something to them and their dad taught them how to think and their grandmother and their coach and their teacher, and they started sharing with you around the dorm room. They started giving you their perspective and their way of life and how they think about problems and how they think about God and how they think about the past and how they think about the future. And before you know it, you have filled up your life with ways of thinking. Not even really knowing what's happening, but your mom, your dad, your grandpa, your grandma, your teachers, your coaches, they were all teaching you how to think about life. Now listen to me. They could have been good people that meant the best. Hear me, I'm not saying that your mom was the devil. I'm not saying that your dad had evil intentions. I'm not saying that your grandmother and your grandfather wanted to ruin your life. That's not what I'm saying at all. But just because they didn't mean bad doesn't mean they didn't do something bad. Give you a way of thinking. And so now you've been living your life and you don't know really, man, I'm just so anxious, and you don't even realize that anxious is not normal, okay? Because grandma was so anxious, and she taught you how to be anxious, right? You really didn't. You thought everybody lied. Why? Because your mom always lied, and your mom taught you that the thinking, always use a lie. If you're in trouble, just lie. Get out of it. And they taught you that this is the thinking process that we're going through. And so we've just gone through life, and we've just learned how to think and learn how to think and learn how to think. And then we wonder, I wonder why my life doesn't look the way that I want it to look, because that's how my mind looks. I want this abundant life that's overflowing, that's flourishing, that's thriving, that's full of peace and full of joy and full of power. This is what I want in my life, but I'll never have that life if this is what my mind looks like. So we don't even know, and we've just been going through life. And we haven't even got into all the other things that can just throw things in your mind, and all the other social media and all the other media platforms and all the other things that can just get in your mind. And all of a sudden, our mind begins to look like this, and you say, okay, well that don't look too good. Okay, how do I change that? Okay, you don't change this by saying, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a great belief. That is a foundational belief. But if that belief doesn't get into your thinking, nothing's going to change. Because all of these beliefs, once again, it doesn't matter where they came from and how good their intentions were, these beliefs are contrary to the Word of God. Because there are people in here that told you were never going to be enough, that you were never going to amount to anything, that you were never going to be able to go to college, you would never graduate high school. They told you, but here in the Word of God, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the belief in this book is contrary to what they said. They said, well, you'll never be able to hold down a good job. You're too lazy. You never knew that you were lazy. You didn't know that. But here's what I know. In this book, it says that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. This book says that no matter what I think is impossible, all things that are impossible are possible because God is with me and God is working through me. So this is the truth of this book, and what people have filled up in my mind is contrary to this book. So what I've got to begin to do is align my thinking with the Word of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, you made a good choice by being here on Sunday. Okay, so today you're gonna get just a little taste. Okay, we're moving in the right direction today, but look at here. I mean, you came to church, but that's pretty dysfunctional still. Now, I was hoping for a little more, Pastor, you know, but it's just not looking like I really want it to look. And you say, you know what, man? He talked about that series in the book of Philippians. And man, if that dude wrote that book in a jail cell talking about rejoicing and joy, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to get my devotional. I need to read the book of Philippians. That might help me. And you read the book of Philippians, and now, okay, now we're moving somewhere, but man, really? I mean, I can't. 4 weeks I came to church, and look, it's still not what I need. You say, okay, now book of Philippians is over. I'm going to find me a Bible reading plan, and I'm going to start reading a little bit of the Bible every single day. Okay, now we're moving somewhere. You know what? I'm not just going to do that. You know what I'm also going to do? I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start talking to God a little bit. You know what? He talked about joining a group, doing life together as community, creating. You know, they got that mission statement there at that church I go to. What's the name? North Point, that church that I go to. And they got this mission statement, and they say creating. Okay, and they always talk about creating being hard work, and they're creating this Christ-centered, culture-changing community. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join a group. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in a group, and I'm going to start having some godly friends and some godly conversation, and I'm going to start seeing what can happen in my life. And then you decide, you know what? I feel like I need a little bit more. I'm going to start reading the book, and I'm going to start listening to some podcasts, and I'm going to get a mentor. I'm going to get somebody who is further down the road that I think can help me along this journey a little bit. They're going to teach me how to think about life and how to think about God. They're going to start teaching me how to think about my kids and my trouble and my situation and my circumstance. And as we go and we just keep putting into practice what you've heard, keep putting into practice what you've seen, just keep putting into practice, and you just keep on putting it into practice over and over and over again, and over the course of time, it didn't happen overnight, but over the course of time, my thinking begins to change. I'm no longer thinking I'm not worthy of love. Now I'm thinking I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am adored by God. I'm no longer looking at what I can't do. I'm seeing what I can do. I'm no longer living under the label that somebody else put on my life. I am living under the label that God put on my life. And he said, you belong to me and you are an heir of everything that I have. That's the label that I'm going to live under. And I start changing the way that I think. You see, this is the reason why we can't wait for things to change. We've got to work for our thinking to change. Yes. Yes. We can't just live hoping that things will change. We got to help our thinking change, and we got to start putting the right things in. We got to fill up our minds with the right things. Why? So we can meditate on the right things, so that we can live out the life that God has called us to live. Some of us today, we're wondering why my life isn't accelerating. I mean, this is the year of acceleration. Why am I not accelerating? And the reason I'm not accelerating is because my mind is still clouded with all the junk that has been there for so long. And I've got to begin to change the way I think. Why? So that God can transform my life. Don't just wait. This is good news and bad news. I've got good news and bad news for you. If you're just hoping things are going to change, they're not going to change. That's bad news because that's what you've been hoping for a long time. But that's good news to let you know that you don't have to stay there. Why? Because you can begin to change the way you think. And as you begin to change the way you think, you can begin to change your life. Yes. I'm going to ask the guys to come help me clear that off the stage before I get excited and knock it over. I want you to look at these two quotes we're going to put on the screen right now. The first is from Charles Kettering, and it says this: you can't have a better tomorrow if you are thinking about yesterday all the time. You can't have a better tomorrow when all you're thinking about is the mistakes and the errors that you made in your past. You can't have a better tomorrow if your mind is filled up with all of the shame, condemnation, and guilt and mistakes of your past. That's what he says. But then I love what Albert Einstein said. And he said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we use when we created them. We are today where we are because of the cloudy mind. We are where we are today because of dysfunctional thinking. We are where we are today because of that. And if we keep that, then we can't expect things to change. But if we start changing that, then guess what? Things will begin to change in our lives. What are these two quotes saying? These two quotes are saying, we can't get where we want to go if we are constantly thinking about yesterday or if we are constantly thinking like yesterday. We can't get where we want to go if we are constantly thinking about yesterday, but we can't get where we want to go if we are constantly thinking like we thought yesterday either. See, we got to get our eyes off of yesterday and put our eyes on tomorrow. We've got to stop thinking like we thought yesterday, realizing that my thinking of yesterday put me in the situation and circumstance and mindset that I am in today, and that's not going to take me where I want to be. So the way I thought yesterday has got to change because I got to move forward, and I can't move forward into everything that God has for me if I thought like I have always thought. Okay, how do we do this? So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you. Once again, we play a part in that. Let God. God's not going to come down and just magically transform your life. We have to get in agreement and partnership with God. Let God. Allow God to transform you. How is God going to transform you? By changing the way you think. Okay, if changing the way we think is going to transform my life, then I need to know, how do we do that? How do I change the way that we think? And it starts with this very simple principle of think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. So many times we are living life and we are not thinking about what we're thinking about. We go days, weeks, months, and we are not consciously thinking about what is in our mind. And we know the only way to elevate our life is to elevate our thinking. But if we don't evaluate our life, then we can't elevate our life. And it's the same way with our thinking. We can't elevate our thinking if we don't evaluate our thinking. And that's what we're going to start with today. Let me just give you a few things that are going to help you change, going to help us change our thinking. Number one is examine daily inputs. Okay? I want you to write this down. This is going to help you. I'm going to give you a little process right here that's going to help you examine your daily input. Once again, hear me. If you don't evaluate it, you can't elevate it. Your thinking will not get better if you don't think about what you actually think about. All right, here's some questions that you can ask yourself. Jot these down. When I examine daily inputs, number one is this: who am I listening to? Who am I listening to? Who am I giving influence in my life? Number two is this. What am I paying attention to? What am I paying attention to? 3 hours of comedians a day, not probably going to take me where I want to go. Who am I paying? Where is my time going? What am I paying attention to? When am I filling, number three, when am I filling myself with excellent things? At what moment of the day, listen to me, at what moment of the day tomorrow is it on your schedule that you know in that moment you are going to be filling your mind with excellent things? Can I just be honest with you? You are never going to fall into excellent things. You are going to have to force yourself into excellent things, and you're going to have to fill your mind with excellent things. It's not just going to happen. So there's got to be a time on my schedule. I am going to fill myself with excellent things. I know when that happens for me. Every time I get in my car to drive anywhere, I know when that's happening for me. Every day when I go to the gym, I know when that's happening for me. I am going to intentionally fill my mind with excellent things. Things in those moments. You got to have it on your calendar. You got to build it into your schedule. You got to examine your daily habits. Maybe say, I don't have that on my schedule. Fantastic. That's why we're here today. Okay, number four. Where am I getting the direction for my decision making? We are all making decisions. Some of you are making big decisions right now. Who you're going to marry. Some of you are making decisions about what career path you're going to take. Some of you are making decisions about, are you going to go on this diet or that diet? Or are you going to do this? Are you going to join the gym? Are you going to ask for this promotion? You're making decisions. But hear me. Everybody's making decisions. Everybody in this room is making decisions. But where are you getting that direction? You're getting that direction from somewhere. Where is it coming from? You're getting direction for your parenting. You're getting direction for your marriage. Where is that direction in your decision-making coming from? It's coming from somewhere. You need to figure out where. Examine your daily inputs. The fifth one is this. How are my current inputs helping me do my best to live right? How are my current inputs? Think about your Monday. You can think about your last Monday when you think about this next Monday. Was there a moment there where you were intentional about your input helping you to be the very best that you could be? Okay, how? How are my current inputs? How are they helping me? You need to evaluate the inputs that you have going on right now and ask yourself, are these good for me? Are my habits good for me? Is what I'm listening to good for me? Is what I'm watching good for me? Are these things good? I need to ask myself these questions. And then finally, you get to the why. And this is the who, what, when, where, how, and why of my daily inputs. And I get to the why, and I need to ask myself why for every one of them. Why am I listening to that person? Why am I paying so much attention to that? Why am I not filling myself with excellent things intentionally during the day? Why am I taking the direction for my life when it comes to my decision-making from these people? Why? You need to figure out why in every case, so that you can begin to bring transformation. But it starts with examination, okay? I love this quote from James Allen. It says this, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You are today, right now, where your thoughts have brought you. And you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. So if you want to be somewhere different tomorrow than you want to be today, how do I make that change? I make that change in my thinking. Starts with me examining my daily inputs, okay? Here's the second thing that I believe is going to help you as we begin to change our thinking process. Number two is eliminate negative inputs. Eliminate negative inputs. Now, where are these inputs coming from? I'm going to give you four things that you need to eliminate. Now, I realize that you can't like completely eliminate these negative inputs. I realize that, but we should be eliminating some of them. Okay, the first one is people. Chances are there are some people in your life that do not need to be in your life. Chances are there are some voices in your life that you would be better if those voices were not there. Why? Because voices affect choices. And so I've got to begin to eliminate some of these people. Maybe they're old friends. Maybe they're coworkers. And you say, but I can't eliminate my coworker. We work right next to each other. She's in the cubicle right beside me. He's in the office right next to me. I can't eliminate. No, that's true. But you don't have to go out to dinner with them once a week. You don't have to sit down and have lunch with them four times a week. No, you can begin to eliminate some of their influence in your life. We got to look at the people that we are giving influence in our lives. There's another negative input that we can eliminate, and that is the press. Amen. The press. We can eliminate some of the influence. Now, I'm not the guy who's going, you should never watch the news. No, that is stupid. You should watch the news. You need to be informed, but you do not need to be consumed. Amen. There's a big difference between knowing what is going on in the world and being completely consumed by what is going on in the world. And if you're not careful, here's what the press will do. The press will put extra pressure on your life, and you don't even know where it's coming from, and you can begin to eliminate some of those things because you find one article, you need to know what's going on, then you read another article, and you read seven unnecessary articles, and those articles built the pressure in your life when all you needed to know was the headline and the blurb from the first article, and you know what is going on in the world, and you've added extra pressure that does not need to be there. You can eliminate. There's another thing, and that's we've got to watch the negativity that can come from our platforms. Okay, when we talk about platforms, we're talking about social media platforms, okay? Now, there's something about social media. It doesn't matter if you're talking about Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Every one of them call it your feed. It's your feed. Whenever you get on Facebook, you are looking at your feed. You are scrolling through your feed. Instagram, you are scrolling through your feed. Twitter, you are scrolling through your feed. And hear me, whatever you feed on, you'll focus on. So there is some negativity out there in the social media world. There is some fear and anxiety and doubt out there in the world. And whatever I feed on is what I will focus on. And some of that stuff needs to be eliminated in our lives. I mean, I'm telling you right now that there is a holy button designed by the Holy Spirit on Facebook, and it's called unfollow. We can still be friends. But I don't want to know what you have to say anymore. I'm tired of reading your rants. I'm tired of all your complaints. I am tired of all your complaining and all of your griping and all of your negativity. And in 10 seconds, I can go click, 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 unfollow, and I can eliminate that negative voice in my life. But here's the power thing. If we don't do that and we read that, guess what? After we read that, we go talk to our spouse about that. Right. And then we go talk to our friend about what so-and-so said in their Facebook. And now negativity is spreading. And we wonder, how did it get there? Because whatever I feed on, I focus on. So it's the focus of my conversation. It's the focus of my thing. I still can't get over what I read on Wednesday. She posted 3:37 in the afternoon. How dare her come on and say this? And I'm still thinking about it, and it's Sunday morning. It's 4 days removed, and I'm still thinking. Why? Because what I feed on, I will focus on. If you say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, they're not going to know you're not friends. You're just not listening anymore. Eliminate it. You know, hey, one thing that just reminded me, one thing when it comes to people, let me jump back up. When it gets to people, hear me, when it gets to people, people will say this about their coworkers. They'll say this about their friends. They'll say, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. So what you are doing is you are letting somebody else's feelings cripple your future. Because every time you have lunch, they're filling you with negativity and complaints, and they're just spewing all of this stuff on you, and you say, their feelings mean more to me than my future. No, we got to eliminate some folks. We got to eliminate some influence. Why? Because my future is worth more than your feelings. I'm sorry you get upset that we don't have lunch on Monday anymore. I'm so sorry. I care more about my future than I do your feelings. Got to eliminate some of these negative inputs. The last negative input that I would say we got to eliminate, and that is some some unhealthy patterns, okay? There are some patterns. There are some old habits of thought that just keep on coming back up in our lives because we've been thinking that way about ourselves so long. We've been thinking about other people that way so long. We've been taught about future and past and all of these things. We've been taught to think a certain way, and we've developed a pattern in our lives. And at some point, we got to step in, and we got to say, no, I'm eliminating this negative thought pattern in my life, this shame, this condemnation, this fear, this anxiety, this I can't do it, this I'm unworthy to be loved, this I'm never going to be good enough. I got to stop this pattern. I've got to eliminate this negative voice that's coming from the inside of me. I've got to eliminate it. Okay, we've got to eliminate the negative inputs. Okay, let's move on. If we're going to change our thinking, okay, we got to examine our daily inputs. We got to start eliminating the negative inputs. But then we have to, third, we have to expand positive inputs. All right, like I said, it's not going to get there just because you would like it to be there. The only way it gets in is if you put it in. You say, okay, how can I get new ways of thinking in my mind? One of the best ways you can do it is through reading. Start reading books. Start reading your Bible. Start reading books. You say, I don't know where to start in my Bible. Start in the New Testament. Start in the book of John. Pick a place and just start reading your Bible. Start reading some books. If you don't know a book, ask somebody who you know who reads a lot of books, and they will give you a great book to read. You can go on the internet, start reading blogs, but you need to read. As a staff, it is a requirement for our staff here at North Point Community Church to read 20 books a year. Why? Because when you read, it transforms your mind. And when your thinking is transformed, it transforms your life. It makes you a better spouse. It makes you a better worker. It makes you a better leader. It makes you better in everything you want to do in your life. You got to get positive things in. Okay, it's not just reading, it's listening. Now, if you say, well, I'm not much of a reader. Okay, they've made it easy for you. Now you can listen to books. People will write their book and then read their book to you. But there are so many, there are podcasts available for you to listen to. There are sermons from the best preachers in the world that are available, and they are free. But you've got to be intentional about getting what they have to say into your ears and into your mind. How do I get positive inputs in my life? Praying will bring positive inputs in your life. When you begin to talk to God and then you get quiet and you see if God has anything that he wants to say to you in the form of a big thought that jumps into your mind, boom, all of a sudden you can have a God idea, a God thought. God can speak to you in those moments and expand the positive inputs in your life. You need a mentor. You need a partner. You need somebody who can go before you, who's walked the road a little bit further than you have, who can help guide you. This is why groups are so important, because there's somebody in the group who can guide you, and there's also somebody in the group that can just walk beside you and say, hey, let's learn together. Let's go through this together. Let's be friends together. Let's hold one another accountable together. Let's do this together. And you get that in the context of a group. That's why everybody in the room needs to be in a group. Why? Because it's going to expand the positive inputs, and every one of us need more positive inputs in our lives. So watch this as we close. As I examine my daily inputs, and as I begin to eliminate the negative ones, and I begin to expand the positive ones, something begins to happen in my life, and that is I enhance my outputs. As I examine my daily inputs, what am I thinking about today? What am I thinking about tomorrow? What am I thinking about every day this week? Examine, 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 examine. The Bible says that you should take every thought captive. What that means is you got to grab it like it's a prisoner, and you got to take it captive and say, okay, where did you come from? What are you trying to produce in my life? How did you get here? How long have you been here? It's time for you to be evicted. Okay, you're good. You can stay. You got to take every thought captive, and you got to determine where did it come from, and why is it there? Okay, the negative ones, I eliminate. The positive ones, I begin to expand. And as I do that, guess what happens? My life begins to enhance. My life begins to improve. My life gets better when I start fixing my thinking. Why? Because when I start fixing my thinking, that's the only time that I can fix my thoughts on what they need to be on. I got to start putting it in. I got to start putting it in because I can't meditate if I don't initiate. I got to start putting it in. If you got to wake up 15 minutes earlier, you need to wake up 15 minutes earlier and start putting something different in. If you got to turn off country radio on your way to work and you got to put a podcast in and you got to start listening to Stephen Furtick or Bishop T.D. Jakes and you got to start getting some of that truth and that word in your heart, let me tell you, you got to do whatever it takes to start getting the right things in. If you got a nighttime routine of falling asleep every night, watching CNN, watching Fox News, if you got a habit every night of falling to bed, watching some horror movie, wondering why you can't sleep at night, why you don't have any peace, why you're full of anxiety, you got to get a different habit and say, instead of turning the TV on, I'm going to take this book and I'm going to read 10 pages of this book before I go to sleep. And before I go to sleep, I'm just going to take a moment and recognize God and thank God for all that he has done and say, God, is there anything you want to say to me or reveal to me about my day that would make tomorrow better? And you just take that moment. What are you doing? You're examining your thoughts, eliminating the negative, expanding the positive, and it's amazing what will start happening with your life. Yeah. All of a sudden, your life starts getting enhanced. The Bible says it this way. King Solomon said this as we close this morning in Proverbs 4:23. He said, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. The smartest man, according to the word of God, King Solomon, said, hey, 2019, August, North Point Community Church, above everything, be careful what you think, because your thoughts are controlling your life. Say, man, I want to build that abundant life. I want to build that life full of purpose. I want to build that life full of peace and harmony. I want to build that life full of patience and kindness and goodness. I want to build that life that's full of love and joy and strength and power. I want to build that life. That's the life that I want to build, okay? That life is going to come from our behaviors. And if we're honest today and say, the life that I'm living is not really the life that I'm really wanting. Totally, entirely. I'm not saying that there's not some good things about your life, but I'm saying it's not really complete. It's not full of everything you want right now. Okay, if that's true, then we take a step back and we say, well, wait a minute, there's some behaviors in my life that aren't right. If my life's not right, okay, there's some behaviors in my life. The life I'm building is not right. There's some behaviors that are out of whack. Okay, how am I going to change those behaviors? Well, those behaviors are coming out of me, so that's my being. So there's some things in my being that I got to get right. Philip, how do I change my being? How do I change who I am? How do I change the direction of my life? I change it by changing the way I think. Because your thoughts are controlling your life. See, if you want to do your best to live right, you can't do your best with the wrong thoughts. You want to do your best to have faith? You can't do your best to have faith with the wrong thinking. You want to do your best to love? You can't love with the wrong thinking. You want to do your best to have peace? You can't have peace with the wrong thinking. So that's why we got to fix our thinking so we can fix our thoughts on those things that are excellent and those things that are pure and those things that are admirable and those things that are praiseworthy. We got to fix our thoughts on those things, but we can't fix our thoughts if we haven't been fixing our thinking. Really, if you look at that acrostic for the word best, really, thinking is the foundation. It's the foundation. Because your thinking will influence the strategies that you come up with for your marriage. Your thinking will influence the strategies you come up with to deal with your children. Your thinking will create the strategies to deal with that annoying coworker that works right next to you all day and never shuts up, and they talk way too loud, and they chomp on their food, and you can hear them, and it just gets all under your skin. I'm telling you right now, your thinking will give you strategies to deal with difficult people. Out of those strategies that you create, guess what? The strategies are doing what? The strategies are getting the Spirit of God in you to live through you. That's why we're developing the strategies, because I got to learn how to let the God in me live through me. I got to learn how to let His love and to let His joy and His peace and His light live through me. I got to do this. So if my thinking is going to help my strategies are going to get my enthusiasm going, and that's where my behaviors come in. But it all starts with my thinking. And if we don't think about what we think about, if we don't examine those thoughts, and let me just tell you this. You say, Phil, that sounds like hard work. That sounds like it's going to hurt a little bit. You're right. You're right. And I believe that's why Henry Ford said, so many people don't think because it's the hardest work you'll ever do. Yeah, it's going to be challenging. But what's at stake, Philip? Your future's at stake. So I don't know about you, but I want to examine my thoughts so that I can start eliminating some of those negative ones, so I can start expanding some of those positive ones, so I can enhance the life that I am living. It all starts with our thinking. If we want to accelerate, go further, faster, we got to get excellence in our thoughts. Come on, stand with me this morning. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Come on, just bow your heads, close your eyes. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if this applies to you. And I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. I'm not going to have you come down front today. But today, if you would say, Philip, I'm ready to get on this process. I'm ready to embark on this process. I am ready to examine my daily inputs. I'm ready. I'm ready to go through the who, what, when, where, how, and why. I'm ready to examine. I'm ready to think about what I think about. Say, Philip, I'm ready to eliminate some of these negative inputs in my life. I'm ready. I'm ready. If I got to cut some people out, if I got to cut some of the press out, if I got to limit some of the time I spend on those platforms, if I've got some patterns that have just become normal, natural operating procedures in my life, I'm ready to cut out some of those patterns, those negative thought patterns in my life. I'm ready to get rid of some of those negative influences. You're saying, I'm ready to expand my positive inputs. I need to start reading some things, listening to some things. I need to start praying and connecting with God on a daily basis. I need to maybe join a group or find a mentor, find a friend to walk with me. I've got to expand my positive inputs because I want to enhance the output of my life. Philip, today, if my thoughts are controlling my future, then I got to fix my thinking so that I can fix my thoughts. I've got to initiate so that I can meditate. Right now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, say, Philip, I want to go on this process. I want to change my thinking. I've got to build this foundation for my strategies and my enthusiasm and my behaviors. I've got to elevate my thinking so I can elevate my life. This message is for me, and I am ready to join in on this process. Come on, if that's you, just shoot your hand up in the air right now. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready to think about what I think about. I'm ready to get rid of the negative. I'm ready to expand the positive because I want to enhance the output of my life that I am building. Come on, if you got that hand lifted right now, come on, why don't you just leave it there as everybody in the room just repeats this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know I need you. I need your love and your grace. I believe you are my Lord and you are my Savior. And I am ready for you to transform me as I change the way that I think. I am ready to accelerate into the future you have for me because I elevate my thinking. Father, I pray for each and every person in this room right now. God, I pray that this would be a transformational Sunday. God, I pray that the truths that are shared today, that we would grab a hold of those truths. God, that we would understand the vital importance of everything that we think on a daily basis. And God, may we begin to evaluate those thoughts. May we begin to eliminate those negatives. May we begin to expand on those positives. And may we all enhance our future because we enhanced our thinking. In Jesus' mighty name. Hey, if you believe it, put your hands together today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.